Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.
Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. And on our show today, we have Keisha and Vance Haney.
Good morning, Brother Curtis.
Good morning, Brother Curtis.
Good morning. So as we've been talking for a while, I plan on having you guys on the show today, and there's a reason for that. And we're going to talk about, Keisha, what you've been through and what God has brought you through. And that's basically our title of our show today, is From Praise to Prison, From Prison to Prayers.
Amen.
So, Keisha, we're going to really focus on you and start open with you. So, why don't you go into a little bit about what, how life was for you, and then you, how you ended up where you ended up.
Well, life was good, I thought. Well, it still is good.
Amen.
It still is good. But things were going well. I had just got into a position where I was getting ready to go into the Butte County Jail and start doing a women's ministry in the Butte County Jail. I had just gotten approved, just gotten my badge and everything to enter in, just preparing for that. And the Lord was working with me. My husband and I had just started a ministry here in Chico. And so things were going good. We were preparing to do what the Lord has called us to do. And
which was ministry.
Which was ministry. And 6 months after all of that, I began to face a situation from work endeavors that I was in late 2007. And after that, things started happening, just trials and tribulations, things that we know that we're going to face, especially because when we were called to do the work of the ministry, we knew that, you know, we were going to have opposition, that there were going to be, that the adversary was going to be after us because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we kept pushing forward, kept moving forward. This happened. The knock on my door happened. And it was a shock to my family and I. And then after that, everything started happening and hitting us all at once. And I end up with a case.
Mm-hmm.
So here I was praising the Lord. And I was still praising him up until the day that I was remanded into custody and went to prison.
Kind of like the story of Joseph. You want to go in a little bit about how your, from the story of Joseph, how your life kind of measures up to that or how it kind of relates to that?
Well, Joseph, you know, it really, just as Joseph had a dream, I had a dream as well. I had a dream about the ministry. I had a dream that we were going to be in the ministry, that my husband was going to be a pastor. And that's probably why the enemy was after me so much, because God had already shown me some things and gave me visions of how things were going to be in our life. And not knowing that we were going to answer that call, just as with Joseph, he didn't really know what his dreams and visions were about. And neither did I really fully understand what they were about, but just knew that they were God sent.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I stated before, as I was remanded into custody, I went into, I really went into praise mode. And of course, you know, anything like that, when that happens, you know, just as with Joseph, it's a shock and you want to say, why me?
Mm-hmm.
But after a while you learn, why not me?
Mm.
And so, and it took me probably 3 days after entering into this situation where I said, why not me?
Mm.
Lord, it's not my will, but let your will be done. And it was, I heard it so clear that the Lord said, why don't you just get up and practice what you've been learning?
Practice what you preach.
Practice what you preach.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm quite sure with Joseph,
mm-hmm.
the visions and dreams that he was having, God was showing him once he got into that cell was practice what you've been learning.
Mm-hmm.
I've already showed you what it is that you're going to be doing. Do just that. And so I began to practice what I was learning. And that was the word of God. So it was already stored up in me.
Mm.
And I just started releasing it.
Mm. And how was it? How was your experience with that? I mean, how were you feeling when this was all taking place? What was going on inside of you? What were you thinking? What were you experiencing? How were you feeling?
When I was in there or when?
When this all came about, when this was all going on, when you were in there and all this was going on about what the Lord was showing you he wanted you to do. And all that, how were you feeling? I mean, I know there was some frustrations. I know there was some upsetness. How were you feeling? I mean, were you kind of upset at God? Were you kind of like angry, like, no way, I'm not going to do this? How was the challenge at first?
Well, at first, and I was never angry at God.
That's good.
The challenge was me getting over the people, so in the natural. Mm-hmm. But, of course, I know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and wickedness in high places.
Mm-hmm.
So I understood that. So, and there was some frustration, but when I heard the voice, I knew what I needed to do. So my feelings were victorious. It was to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt a boldness, and I was just going for it. It was like fighting up against that enemy, mm-hmm. you know, that was trying to war against. It was like the flesh and the spirit warring against each other. And so I felt boldness. I felt like, okay, here I am.
It's time to be violent and take it by force.
Time to take it by force. And that's mm-hmm. what I did.
So describe how that went on while you were there. I mean, what just different things that you experienced and stuff while you were in there, the time that you were in there. And for what I'm referring to, folks, she spent some time incarcerated.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct. Well, I'll just kind of jump from just place to place at what kind of took place and not really take up too much time because there was so much that happened because God was so good to me.
Focus on the key points.
The first 7 days that I was there, I'll just say that I was invited to become a trustee while I was there. When the Holy Spirit told me to practice what I've been learning, as soon as I walked out of the cell, a woman came up to me and said, "Hi," she introduced herself and said, "I believe you're supposed to pray for me."
Wow.
And I just looked at her and I said, okay. And what am I supposed to be praying for? And she began to tell me, well, she was standing in front of me. And then there was another lady on this to the left side of me. And then she said, well, can I have prayer as well? And I said, sure.
Wow. God's setting you up.
And then there was another lady on the right side of me. And she said, well, I want in on prayer. And I said, sure. So I began to ask the ladies what it is that they wanted prayer for. And I began to pray for them and stand in agreement with them with their prayers. That was the first sign that I knew that he was there, that it was him, because it wasn't me. And so we began to pray. After that, it was just full stream ahead. I mean, again, I became a trustee there within 7 days. Then the officers began to call upon me to go to different cells and talk to people. And they didn't really understand either that God was using them to do his work.
Isn't that how it always works?
That's how it works.
So let's go into further. So you were there for 3 years. So give us some experiences and stuff with some of the things that you went through and experienced while you were in there. And how some of the maybe the testimonies that you have that being while you were in there.
Well,
we have plenty of time.
Well, the at one stop, I went to several different places. So at one stop, I was in Sacramento County Jail, and there was, you know, I spent about 7.5 months there, and there is where I saw a lot of more demonic forces, a lot of things, different things going on, a lot of different personalities and attitudes, and it was there where I really learned about how I needed to fight the warfare that was going on and what I needed to do and really get bold. And that was where he really showed me that it was really about winning the loss at all costs.
Repeat that one more time.
Winning the loss at all costs.
So you were willing to do whatever it took at that moment.
I was willing to do whatever it took because I knew that he was with me.
Okay. So keep talking.
And so once I started there and just doing what the Lord had called me to do, I was getting women from immigration wanting me to do Bible study. I was hosting Bible studies 7 days a week, pretty much. I was ministering every day, all day. And, you know, there was women there. And this was one of the wards there was a, it was kind of like a mental ward where people were separated. They were segregated from the rest of the people there. And they started changing my name. So I was Paul to them. And so
How did that feel to you?
Well, it was just a confirmation from the Lord. I'm a humble person, so it was kind of like, oof, I'm not.
So as you humble yourself beside and humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he'll lift you up, and he was lifting you up.
He was lifting me up, and I had to recognize that it was him. I knew that it was him. It wasn't me because I couldn't do that in my own strength. So they started calling me Paul, and so the officers started getting word of them calling me Paul. And so every time someone new came in or someone was having an issue, they were crying or they were, you know, going through some things, they sent me, you know, to go.
So
and
you were like a staff member, even though you were behind bars.
Even though I was behind bars. Because here was the thing, is that I may have been behind bars, but I was not in prison.
You were free.
I were free. I was free.
So the Lord didn't have to break the shackles off your hands so you could praise him, and didn't have to break the shackles off your feet so you could dance. That was already done.
It was already done. It was done when I went in. I was already praising him anyway.
Wasn't the enemy like throwing condemnation and shame and stuff at you and making you feel down at times and like, why am I here, and getting frustrated, upset at God? Was any of that going on?
I had some feelings of guilt and shame and condemnation, those type of things. But it was basically because I had felt like I had abandoned my family.
Which was a lie, right?
Which was a lie. And not only that, I think it was because there was a decision that I had to make in the beginning of all of this, whether I was going to fight or just bow down to the enemy. And I believe that God didn't want me to just bow down. I wasn't just going to just sign a deal. No, because I know what was taking place. I know what had taken place, and I wasn't going to do that. So I had already had it in my spirit and in my mind that I was going to fight. So when I, although I talked to my family about it, I think it was still one of those things where I know that they really didn't want me to do that. But it was,
your family wasn't for you doing what you did.
They were for me doing what I did, but I know that there was a, that deep down, they probably wish I would have, you know, signed the deal. So once everything took place, of course, I didn't take the deal. I fought for what I believe was right.
Well, you made the decision that the Lord told you to make.
Right.
Folks, that's her husband, Pastor.
Yes, Vince. Yes. He told you to make this decision to fight.
Right.
You said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done.
Right.
Amen.
And we stood in agreement with that.
Amen.
Right.
Not knowing what the outcome was going to be.
Well, do you want to flip over, Vince, when I get back from commercial break? Do you want to flip over and share a little bit yourself, and then we'll bring it back into Keisha?
Okay.
All right. Well, folks, you're listening to KKXX 930 AM and Y104.5 FM. And if you like this show, Christ Today, feel free to call 894-7325 and let us know. We are on the air for you. You are the ones we care about. You're the ones we want to reach. And if you have a need and you have a situation, something that you want to talk about, something that you want to possibly hear on the air that will speak to you, feel free to call at 894-7325 and let us know. And I have an upcoming event June the 10th through the 14th at the Yuba Center Fairgrounds in Yuba City. We have Mario Murillo doing a five-day tent revival. And it's for people that need salvation, people that need healing, people that need deliverance, people that need freedom, people that need to know who they are in Christ. He will be speaking 7 o'clock from the 10th through the 14th, Mario Murillo in Crusade. If you don't know who he is, check out the bridge, yubacity.com. You'll see a picture of him as you scroll down and listen to what he has to say. He's a mighty man of God. All right, folks, we're going to get back to the program. Okay, we're back with Vince and Keisha Haney, and Keisha and Vince Haney, and they are our guests today. And Vince, we left off, we asked you to speak a little bit when we came back. So how was you going through this? How was you feeling? What was the enemy in you? I know probably you don't, the enemy doesn't affect you. You don't let the enemy affect you, but was there anything that was going on with you? Like, I'm going to miss my spouse. Why is this going on? Why is this happening? Why am I, you know, did you and God have any
talks? First of all, thank you for inviting me to the broadcast.
You're welcome.
And again, I'm a word Christian, mm-hmm. son of, child of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. And the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. So again, I study the Word to show myself approved.
Amen.
So I know what the Word says. The Word says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will, not might, not perhaps, but will endure persecution.
Amen.
Now, that persecution is going to come from our adversary called the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, if it's not God sent, it's still God used.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God may not have sent the storm,
but he'll use it.
Yeah, he uses it. So, but you got to realize, and I was, as Keisha was talking, and I know God's all knowing. This situation, this circumstance didn't take him off guard.
No, oops, never
I didn't
does.
See that coming. Well,
no.
He's all knowing.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the scripture in Ephesians 6. It says, it's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us until the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen.
And I'm going to bounce over to verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things. Mm-hmm. Oh, see, he works all things.
Amen.
After the counsel of his own will. So,
amen.
So God knew this was going to happen. But here's the deal. This is what God does. He prepares you.
That's why he says, stirring you up.
Well, he prepares you. That's why he tells you to study to show yourself approved. Yeah. And he's going to reveal things, the deep things to you in his word. So he wants you to be grounded and rooted. Ephesians 6 goes to say, when your evil day comes. Mm-hmm. Not if it comes. Mm-hmm. When it comes. So he wants you to be prepared when it comes. And the only thing you need to prepare with is the word of God. You need to feed on that.
Mm-hmm.
So when life happens, as we're doing it, you're prepared because you're grounded and rooted with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a difference on the truth and the facts.
Mm-hmm.
The facts is circumstances. Mm-hmm. Scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight.
Not by sight, yeah.
So the truth is God's word.
Yeah.
So he said all who desire to live godly will suffer persecution.
That's true. That's,
he said we who God's children that love the Lord are saved. We are like sheep heading towards the slaughter.
Amen.
But Jesus said, in this world you will have trials and tribulations, mm-hmm. but be of good cheer. I've overcome
Amen.
The world.
Amen.
So if I'm feeding on his word, I'm feeding on Jesus. So if he's, Bible says, as he is, so are we. So if he's an overcomer and death didn't hold him down,
mm-hmm.
now scripture says in Romans 8, the same power that raised him from the dead lives inside of us and mm-hmm. gives power to our mortal bodies through his spirit that lives in us. So if death couldn't hold him down, death, hell, and the grave,
yeah.
well, nothing can hold us back. So
That's
God
true.
Says, okay,
Amen.
I'm going to deliberately plant the righteous among the wicked.
Okay.
Like she said, he started revealing stuff to us. I'm going to allow you to go in here. Remember, you wanted to have a prison ministry. So I already see what's, I can see, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. You guys don't, but I know.
Amen.
And I understand the enemy's going to use a circumstance in your life to incarcerate you, but I'm going to use it for my good.
Yeah.
I got some people that you're going to encounter that you're going to need what you have inside of you, because you have inside of you, what you have inside of you is Christ in you, the hope of yeah. glory.
Keisha, did you have something you wanted to say?
No, I was just
agreeing with Vince.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so I'm knowing all of this. So when it happened, of course, yes, we all believe God's going to deliver us, right? there when we go into a trial, tribulation, or persecution. But sometimes God says, no, I'm not going to deliver you that way because I got something for you to do,
That's
Jonah.
True.
I got something for you to do, Jonah. So I need you to go to these dark places and let your light so shine. Mm-hmm. Be salt.
He took you through the trial.
He didn't
always take you out of the trial.
Well, he's going to get you through it. Remember, the thing God sent is still God used. So he was using us, and that's the way what he revealed to us, how I'm still using you guys. And I'm using you guys for various reasons. And here's one reason. I want to prove something in you, too, because I know when you guys answered the call to go into ministry and started a Bible teaching church, that the enemy hated that. He was opposed to that.
He didn't want it at all.
Paul said, there's been a wide door open to me, but with it are many adversaries.
Okay.
So God gave open this door for ministry to us in this region, but with it come a lot of adversaries.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand that people aren't our problem. The devil is. But he works through people.
Amen.
And systems. So he was working through the system. But we knew that. So we said, okay, God, we want you to deliver us like this. But God had already told her, no, don't bow down. Fight the good fight.
He had another plan.
I got another plan because I know all these people you're going to touch in this next 3 years. I need you to get to them and get them a message because God uses people.
Yes, he does.
We're called the body of Christ.
The body.
Jesus is the head of the body.
That's correct.
So he was using her, and he started revealing to us the first week that she was incarcerated in Sacramento. He revealed to us what he was doing. So now we're at rest.
So let me stop you for a second because you're just – and this is awesome.
I know. My faith's on fire.
Yeah, amen. Amen. But so my question to you was, you were being stirred up in your spirit. And you were being strengthened in your spirit through this whole trial, this whole situation. And you were standing up and rising up and fighting along with her. But you were fighting the enemy in a sense that God was giving you strength. And you were still attacking and going after the things for the Lord, even though you were going through this.
The first day that she got incarcerated, when we had to leave Sacramento and leave her behind because mm-hmm. they remanded her in custody, that was the longest ride ever back from Sacramento to Chico.
Mm-hmm.
On that way back, me and my daughter rode back together, and that was the quietest ride we ever had back because the devil was just bombarding my thought life. But I understand what the scripture says, cast down every thought and every measure. But these were the thoughts he was shooting at me. Okay, now you can shut that ministry down. You can shut the ministry of Rhema Word of Faith down. You can stop that foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thought. He said, I started a community coalition in the community where our church building sits called Love Chapman Town Community Coalition. The enemy told me that. He said, now you can stop that Love Chapman crap too. So
he said that to you?
He was telling me all this stuff. See, Satan's job is to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He wants to abort the plan and purpose
and
that God has
lies.
For your life.
Yeah,
yeah, he uses lies.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tried to use this situation to tell me, oh, do this because now, aren't you ashamed now?
Mm-hmm.
You're a pastor and your wife's in jail.
You.
Aren't you ashamed now?
He tried to bring shame on you.
Yeah, he tries to will condemnation.
Yeah.
So he tried to shame me. So he almost had me. Remember, that was an 80-mile trip from Sacramento to Chico.
But you weren't going to
get it. But here's the deal. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Greater is
so,
he
so,
you
so I was casting down those thoughts. And here's what I kept doing. Feed on the word.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you feed on the word, the more understanding the revelations you're going to get. So first thing God told us to do, especially after she called that first week and said what God had told her to do about practice. Now go out and practice what you've been learning.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these women were out there just waiting in line mm-hmm. for some spiritual mentoring
mm-hmm.
for some deliverance, some healing. And when she told me that, all that did was stirred my faith up. It reinforced what I already knew. So now, this is what I do that first week. Publicly, I publicly forgive. I forgive the judge. I forgive the prosecutors. I forgive everybody that came in there with a false testimony because I knew they were being used by the devil. So remember, we wrestle not against mm-hmm. flesh and blood. People mm-hmm. aren't your problem. Mm-hmm. So I forgave. I publicly forgave every. On Facebook, I put it in the newspaper. I forgave.
Amen.
Because Jesus, remember, Jesus is our example.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he say when they crucified him on the cross? Before he said it was finished, he said, Father, forgive them,
Amen.
For they know not what they do. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says Jesus left us an example that we should to follow.
Amen.
We're the body of Christ.
Amen.
So I did that first, and now I'm freed up. So now I'm not running around with a seed of bitterness that's growing up in me because how Satan used these people to falsely accuse and testify. And I was thinking about Joseph. You know, Joseph spent some time in jail. He was falsely accused of sexual harassment.
He was.
We know he didn't do that. But see, that's an example how the devil uses people mm-hmm. to accuse God's people who got a gift on them that's mm-hmm. going to use it.
He brings accusation and condemnation.
Well, the Bible calls him the accuser of mm-hmm. the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
he's accusing us day and night, and he wants to condemn you to make you believe his lies.
Yeah.
But remember, the word of God is the truth.
And, greater,
and he says you're holy, acceptable in the beloved. That's who you are.
We're the righteousness of
Christ. So regardless of where you go or what situation you might find yourself in, you still are who God says you are. You have what God says you have, and you can still do what God says you can do. And Keisha knew that. I knew that. So what we did simply, Curtis, we continued in the faith. We just continued doing what we knew to do. We continued to allow the word to manifest in our lives, in our situation. We kept praying for people. We kept, remember the scripture says preach the word in season and out of season. Well, that was our out of season right there. So we had to keep preaching the word. And a lot of people don't know, just previous to that, we had some trials and tribulations. This was just like the grandmother for that season, that 7-year season. That was the one that says, really, okay, y'all go hide and crawl under a rock. But here's what I know. The devil is a liar.
Amen.
He's a liar.
He is.
And greater is he
that's in us. And
that's he's in the world.
Let me get back to the show. Let me talk a little.
Okay.
Let me talk a little.
You talk a little. I talked enough.
Also, the Lord says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. For
amen. Look, I got you on fire now.
Well, I've been on fire, but the show basically today is just really getting real with the folks out there on the air that are listening, because we have a lot of hurting people out there, a lot of people that are trapped in a prison. They feel that they're in prison, and we want to really minister and encourage them because this is their show. So, Keisha, while you were in there, what was going on with you personally? I mean, you know, what were some of the challenges that you were facing, that you were up against, and how did God give you the strength to face, you know, just as some of the stuff your husband has said, what were some of the experiences or maybe some of the testimonies that you can share with us and with the audience?
Some of the things, whenever there was a challenge, you had asked me earlier about I was talking about the condemnation or the guilt and the shame and about the abandonment issue that Satan was bombarding me with. And I had to realize that was a lie. But I had to go back to the word, and I had to cast down those thoughts because I knew that it was lifting itself against the knowledge of God. And so I had to bring that back into the obedience of the word. But as I was there and just kind of going through, of course, you know, all these thoughts and you have these fears, especially when you've never been in trouble, you know, you've never been in that situation and you don't really know. You got to not only focus on what thus said the Lord, but you got to, it's like the surroundings, the atmosphere is totally different from what you're used to. So you're now out of your comfort zone. So I was going through all the, you know, do I have to watch my back? I'm there by myself. I don't know these people. You know, some of these people have been here there for, you know, 3 years, 4 years, and there was a lot of things going on. So I had to look out for myself.
So there was stuff that you was facing, like fears and stuff, where it's still coming against you, even though you are a child of God. But you were taking authority over that stuff.
I had to take authority, and a lot of times, the enemy was throwing anxiety on me, you know, and I had to combat it with the word. And one of the things that I kept doing was I would always say that God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And so I had to be mindful that I had a sound mind at all times to remove that anxiety and that fear, because those doubts that the enemy was placing upon me. I mean, there was, you know, at one point the people were saying, well, you know, there's medicine that you can take for anxiety. And I said, oh, no, because the word of God is my medicine.
Amen.
I'm not going to go and I'm not going to take any medicine. So me being focused on the word is what really kept me. I had to meditate and I had to recite it over and over and over again. I mean, there were times where, honestly, I thought that, you know, if I didn't have the word of God in me, that I could have just went crazy, because you hear the clanging of keys and of doors closing and slamming and, you know, those type of things.
And you're wishing for freedom.
Wishing for freedom, you know, as far as physical freedom. But at this moment, when all of these things are going on, in my mind, the enemy was trying to captivate my mind, to imprison my mind. And if I would have allowed it, I would have lost it.
But you didn't allow it, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, and no weapon formed against you is going to prosper.
Amen. And you know, and before I went in, the Lord had given me the scripture in Joshua that no man shall be able to stand before me all the days of my life. Mm-hmm. Just as he was with Moses, so will he be with me. He will not leave me nor forsake me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to be mindful of that. And then he says that everywhere the sole of your foot shall tread upon, it has been given to you. When with that, I received my strength and I received boldness and I just went forward. And everywhere that I stepped, I kept reciting that, that everywhere the sole of my feet treads upon, it has been given to me. And I am taking the power and the authority over the enemy in this place.
And the joy of the Lord became your strength.
The joy of the Lord became my strength. It had to be, because if not, again, it's easy to lose your way when you've never been in a situation like that.
I need your husband back in the studio. That's all right. So keep talking.
And so, it's one thing that I would say to any woman, as I did in there and in the system, was God is always the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is the truth and the life.
No weapon formed against us shall prosper.
No weapon. And it's like, and when he's not slack concerning his promises.
No, his promises are yes and amen, and he will deliver on time. It may not be on our time, but he delivers on time.
Always on time. He's an on-time God. And the one thing that you will always know, especially if you are seeking, if you are searching out, if you're studying, if you're in the Word, you can always go back and find a word for your situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even with Joseph, he knew what he knew, and he knew that the devil didn't send him to prison. It's just like I knew. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the devil. It was God.
Amen.
Because he said that I have something for you to do here in this place. And every step of the way, he was just showing me, and mm-hmm. there was favor going before me.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere I went, and there was a time where I had a dream, and I was wrestling with the Holy Spirit. And he said, you're going to be teaching, you need to teach Bible study. And I said, oh, no. I said, Lord, I'm in the same clothing as these people, you know, in the same situation. Mm-hmm. They're not going to trust me. You're going to have to open some doors.
How are they going to look at my life when I'm like them?
Yeah.
You know, I'm supposed to be separate. God, how can you use me in this situation, in this boat, the way when I represent them and I'm not separate? Because the Bible, a lot of people that are out there in the church realm will say, well, you got to be separate. You got to be this way. You got to be that way in order for God to use you. But he was using you in the same boat as them mm-hmm. to minister to them, because I don't think you could have related to them otherwise.
Right. And you know, the one thing, too, that I learned really is that about judgment.
Mm-hmm. Judge not, lest ye be judged.
There was something, and this is something, if you don't mind me.
Go ahead.
Is something that he showed me there, too, and it was just he put on me about him delivering us and about judgment, but he says that being that God is the God of all comfort, and he comforts us through our troubles, we as followers of Jesus Christ should be able to do the same for one another, especially those in the household of faith.
Wow.
The hardships and sufferings that he suffered are the same sufferings we are going to suffer. And each one of us has our own assigned sufferings, which produces character, hope.
Folks, you're listening to KKXX, 9:30 a.m. and 104.5 FM with Keisha. She's at the mic right now talking, and she's our guest for today. And if you guys are being blessed by this show, feel free to call 894-7325 and let us know. All right, Keisha, go ahead.
Well, he says that those assigned sufferings, which produces character, hope, patience, and endurance, whether we desire to live godly or not, pain and suffering is inevitable to mankind. And just as our seasons change on the earth, like our summer, our winter, our spring, our fall, so does our assignments change.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what season we are in or assignment we are on, even if we get off track, mm-hmm. he will always lead us back in the direction he desires for us if we surrender to his will in our lives.
Not our will, his will.
It's his will.
His will be done.
Amen.
You wanted your will to be done, but his will was being done.
His will was being done. And he always delivers us as long as we put our trust and hope in him. And that was something that I had to do. And I had to always remember that though I was hard pressed on every side, mm-hmm. but not crushed, I was feeling perplexed in every area of my life, but I wasn't in despair. Notice that I'm always going to be persecuted.
We will.
Always going to be persecuted. but never abandoned.
Persecuted and never abandoned.
And struck down, but never destroyed.
That's correct. Never destroyed.
So I decided that I'm going to always walk towards the destiny in Him and fulfill what He has called me to do.
Say that one more time.
I will always walk towards my destiny in Him mm-hmm. and fulfill what He has called me to do.
And what is it that you feel He's called you to do?
I believe that He has called me to heal hearts, save souls, and transform lives through His Word.
Since you've come out of prison, it was just recently, right?
Yes.
What have you seen as far as experienced, or what are some testimonies you've experienced since you've come out bolder, stronger, and more on fire than I'm sure you, because it's equipped you and prepared you for coming out. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you've seen since you've come out? What are some victories that you've seen? Or
well, His favor, I mean, just as it was when I went in, His favor continues to, you know, flow. You know, it's funny because when you're heading out and you're getting prepared, you know, the main thing that people or, you know, you think about is, okay, I have to look for work and then, you know, I have to do that because you still have to program and you still have to do some things to get you back into
society,
you know, and especially and into your community. But God has favored me so much. I have not one time had to put in not one application and have three job offers.
Not one application?
Not one application.
Wow.
And so His
favor of God.
His favor has just already gone before me. And you know, and it was prophesied to me before I even left there by a minister that came in. And she said to me, she said, you know, you're going to do great things.
Great exploits.
For God when you leave this place. She says, I don't know what it is that God has for you, but I see the favor of God all over you, and you are going to reach many of women, and you're going to be able to help many of women, because that's what I did when I was there. Mm-hmm. I did what God had called me to do, and He's gifted me to be a release mm-hmm. for women. And so I believe that my purpose is to aid women and to empower them through life challenges.
So are you doing any of that right now?
I am.
And in what capacity?
I'm life coaching right now. And I have a couple of clients that I'm dealing with and empowering and helping them through some life challenges. And they're not small life challenges either. Mm-hmm. But God is working through me and enabling me to aid them in their situations and to deliver them and help set them free.
So there's women out there listening to you right now. What do you feel on your heart to share? We've got a few more minutes left. Well, actually, we've got nearly 27 minutes left. What are some things on your heart that you want to share with the women out there that are listening?
I would say that whatever life challenges that any woman is going through right now, just know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes we feel like we don't have a voice as women, and sometimes we feel like the load is too much to bear. But He will never put too much on you than you can bear. Us as women, we have been given a strength that cannot be taken away from us, and it's a strength that's within us that is just waiting to come out. There's a little girl inside of you that may be saying, I want out, I want out. Find out who you are. Who you really are, the real you. And once you find out who the real you is, then you'll start seeing life again. Then you'll start seeing the colors of that rainbow being fulfilled in your life. God is not mad at you. He's mad about you.
Amen. Say that one more time.
God is not mad at you. He's mad about you.
Amen.
He wants you to prosper in every area of your life.
As He told me when I was at a businessmen's fellowship meeting one time, I'm in love with you in spite of yourself. I love you in spite of yourself.
Amen.
And we got to get over ourselves.
Yes.
We got to not look at who we were, but who He says we are.
Yes.
And we got to recognize that we are free in Christ. Even though we're going through stuff, we're still free in Him. You were free in prison.
Oh, yeah.
But your praise was on.
Yes.
Even when it didn't feel like being on and you felt like shutting down, you couldn't shut down because you were full of what God was doing in you and showing you, ministering to these women.
Yes.
And so there's women today that are listening and they're in prison, but they're not in prison.
Yes.
There's even women in church that are in prison, but not in prison. So speak to the women that are in church that may be in prison, but yet, You know where I'm going with that.
Yes. For those that are in congregations, I would say that you never know who you're sitting next to, and you never know what the next woman is facing or have faced. We all have a story. And I would say that you have to first surrender your will, surrender yourself to the Lord, because it's not about you. He wants to use your mess, and he wants to turn it into a message. Mm-hmm. He wants you to praise him through your circumstances. When you praise him, he gets the glory, and you become free. He wants you to be real about who you are and where you are going. He doesn't want you to sit back. He doesn't want you to sit back and allow the enemy to win and to be for you to be captivated in your mind. He wants you to move full stream ahead and to take charge and to take back what the enemy has stolen from you emotionally.
Okay, is there anything else, or you want me to turn over to your husband? Vince, you've got a people out there that are listening to you, and you stirred them up earlier, and I want you to stir them up again, and I want you to speak to them just as your wife did about feeling like they're trapped in a prison or feeling like they're unfree. I want you to really speak some things to them where they can be freed up and they can hear the heart of someone that cares, because God taught you to be more caring for people through what you went through. So I want you to share some things that are on your heart to the people that are listening.
Well, you know what the Bible says? Again, I'm a word guy. The scripture says, whom the Son sets free
is free indeed.
And the Son he's referring to is Jesus. And in Revelations, it says Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So once you get the Word of God planted and deeply rooted in your heart, your spirit, and allow it to speak to you and grow you up, that's where true freedom comes from. Again, you can be incarcerated in a jail cell, but in Christ, you can still be free. And Paul said this. He says, he was incarcerated too. All throughout the Bible, you see God's people being incarcerated. But during Paul's incarceration, he said, you know what? I don't see myself chained to them, because back then they physically put you in chains. He said, I'm not chained to these officers. They're chained to me. And because they're chained to me, I can preach the gospel to them, and not only that, demonstrate the gospel to them. And that's what he was doing. And again, all our ministry mission is co-laboring with Jesus to set, because we're the body of Christ, to co-labor with Jesus to save souls, heal hearts, and transform lives. That's what God called us to do. And we do that through teaching and preaching the uncompromised Word of God. So I always tell people, get the Word of God on it. Mm-hmm. Find out what the will of the Lord is, it says in Ephesians. So once you find out what God's will is, and it's equated to his Word, and I always tell people, faith begins where the will of God is known. Once you have understanding of what happened, what this Bible has to reveal to you, and then you can walk by faith and not by sight. You won't think it strange when something happens, when the enemy accuses you of something and they falsely testify against you and drag you into court. You were like, oh, okay, well, I'm in line with scripture. Oh, this is supposed to happen. Oh, that's why he says in James, don't think it strange when you go through various trials and tribulations, knowing that it's a testing of your faith. And then there's another scripture, I believe, in James or Corinthians. He says, there's no temptation, trial or test, that's common to man. He said, but God with the test or the trial,
he'll make a way out, make a way of escape.
And you got to have confidence in that. Okay, God. And for her, the way of escape was preaching the word in season and out of season. You're going to get through this. Just let me still use you in this circumstance, in this situation. Don't cry. Don't murmur. Don't think I've forsaken you. No, you just go ahead and build people up.
Don't give up. Keep pressing in.
Another one of our slogans in our ministry, Rhema Word of Faith, is building the people that build the church. Empowering people to empower people.
Which you do.
Yeah, I believe that's what all of God's people are called to do. Once we get a revelation or understanding of the Word of God,
we're
called to build up people.
Yeah.
You know, we're supposed to preach the good news. People already tore down in their circumstances and situation, but Bible says Christ in us.
The hope of glory.
The hope of glory. Mm-hmm. And greater is he that's in us. It says the kingdom of God is in us. And it comes in us. It comes out of us as we open our mouth. Remember the scripture says those who are filled with the Spirit, The spirit means the word of God as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. Out of their mouths, their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you need, some living water, and to have life and more abundantly. Mm-hmm. You need to have some Jesus food. And Jesus said, I am living water. Mm-hmm. He said, I am bread, too.
Yes.
So once you feed on him, and then you rest in that. And mm-hmm. he says, take casting all your cares upon him. And actually, in Matthew 11, he tells us all who are heavy laden, come and I'll give you rest. But then he says, come and learn of me.
Yeah.
Learn. Right. And Jesus had some trials and tribulations too. But he showed us how, through his example, how to overcome those. Mm-hmm. And we can overcome. There's no temptation that's such as common to men. Anything, we can really overcome it if we really have faith in God.
Faith in grace, not in ourselves.
Yeah, have faith in God.
We'll let ourselves down, but Christ will never let us down.
He'll never let you down. And Christ is in his word.
Yes, he is. Yeah. And if you can't read it, you can at least focus on him through Christian television, through preachers.
Ooh.
Because I have a hard time reading the Bible, mm-hmm. but I read it. But I get more out of corporate Bible study. I think we ought to be in a Bible study. I think we ought to be learning what Hebrews is saying, what Ephesians is saying, what Christ is saying about us. And I think we need to allow that to stir us up.
Mm-hmm.
And you became stirred up. While your wife was in confinement, you became stirred up. You became strong. You became all that. Now I want to ask you a question. Was there ever a moment as a pastor where you began to battle with what you were going through as a minister in the congregation? Was there ever a moment where you began to battle against what you knew God had called you to do? Like, maybe I should just give up. Maybe I should throw this to the wayside. Maybe I should walk away.
Well, I'm not going to say that the enemy never try to shoot those thoughts to our minds, because mm-hmm. that's what he does. Mm-hmm. You know, he shoots thoughts, but we're reminded to take the shield of faith
and cast those
and quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. That's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Those fiery darts is thoughts, ideals, and suggestions. So, yeah, I'll be lying to you if he never shot that thought, that ideal, or suggestion. Yes, he did. But you know what I did? I did what the word says. I cast it down, and I replaced it with the truth. He who began a good work in me will complete it. Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of my faith. It says, run with endurance the race to set before you, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of my faith. And, you know, and he who began to get a work. So I had to focus and meditate on what he said, not what the enemy was trying to get me to meditate on.
Now, together, since Keisha, you've come out of prison, Vince, now that the two of you are together in ministry, can you see the strength? Can you see how that's just paid off and the strength and all that God, and how you guys together are stronger and more equipped for facing the giants in this area?
Well, and see, remember, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. One of the main things he wanted to kill and steal and destroy was the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wanted to do. So if I can separate him like that, because mm-hmm. he's opposed to marriages, mm-hmm. especially traditional marriages, mm-hmm. the ones God ordained. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to do that. But we had an understanding from the Word of God that we are heirs together of the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, what God put together.
That no man tear apart.
So and again, no devil in hell. Don't let him tear. So we understood, okay, we need to continue to strengthen this bond of unity within our marriage. So mm-hmm. I did what I needed to do. We corresponded through electronic mail. I visit constantly. I encouraged through electronic mail and visitation. We encouraged each other in the faith and the word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wanted to say. What kept me going was I continued in the faith. And Jesus said this, if you continue in my word, mm-hmm. then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth,
and the truth will
set you free. So that's what we did. We just, even though we was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we didn't fear no evil because we mm-hmm. continued in the truth in his word. Mm-hmm. Remember, there's a difference from facts and the truth. Mm-hmm. Facts are what this current situation looks like or says. Mm-hmm. The truth is what God says. So we stand on the truth of God's word. So we're going to, he said, I'm going to bring you through. So I have to have confidence in what he said.
Okay.
He said, yeah, you know, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of all of them.
Yeah.
We knew it was just another affliction. So we strengthen each other because iron sharpens iron, the Bible
mm-hmm.
says.
Mm-hmm.
So we would sharpen each other with the word. When we would meet, we'd talk about what the word says. And remember, Jesus is always that third string in that rope. And that symbolized the marriage, man and woman. And then Jesus.
Now, you had kids involved in this whole picture. So did this strengthen your whole relationship?
Well, they understood. They knew, who their mother was. She was a mm-hmm. woman of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what their dad was called to do and their parents were called to minister the gospel. And in our house, again, like you said, you may not have to read the Bible, but we kept TBN on the Word Network. Yeah. We purchased teaching materials from Dr. Price, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, Copeland, and just mighty men and women of God, Paula White. We always had that word playing in our house, in our car. So they understood that we hungered and thirsted after righteousness. Scripture says those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So they understood what our hunger and desire was for. Mm-hmm. So they were like, okay, and we would talk to them about, you know, those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will go through stuff. So we had to communicate that to them.
Well, I'm going to ask Keisha a question. One of the things that your husband just mentioned was Paula White, well, one of the people. And she says that you cannot conquer what you can't confront. You can't confront what you can't identify.
Yes.
Name something in your life that God has helped you to confront, identify, and conquer. Either in prison or out of prison now, something that you've been able to confront, identify, and now you're able to conquer.
One thing that I really had been able to confront is my boundaries in every area of my life, and with anyone that I allow into my life, into my space. I've really conquered that when I went to prison, and I am really strong on that and stand on that as I am out of prison. So as I'm out, that was one thing that I confronted, and that's one thing that I have conquered, and I'm still conquering as I'm going along and adjusting back into my community.
Now, are you still able to do prison ministry? Are you still ministering or keeping correlation with these women and ministering to the ones that are in prison that you got to build relationships with while you were in there? And
yes.
On other levels.
On other levels, I'm still able to, keep in contact with them and minister to them, I should say, because not only did they play an integral part in my life, but I played one in theirs as well. And so with that, they're still hungry. They are, wanting now, where's your podcast? They want, they're waiting for my book. They're waiting for me to.
Well, you can give them the first podcast. It's ChristToday.org, and they can listen to this show.
Amen. Amen.
And again, one thing we seem to forget as Christians, in the body of Christ, in God's kingdom, it's about relationship.
Amen.
That's why we refer to others as brothers and sisters, Brother Curtis, Sister Keisha, Brother Vince, Brother Andrew, and we say our Abba Father. Mm-hmm. It's all about relationship. So in her situation and circumstances, God showed us, too, how relationships was being built.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I always tell her, see, had that not happened, you wouldn't have never known these beautiful women. Mm-hmm. You would have never built these relationships with these awesome women, and they would have never known you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's
now women. You can see how all things work together for the good.
Yeah. I'm sure there's women that were good, godly women that were in there, too, that may have been set up.
Oh, yeah.
May have, and a lot of people, we look at people and say, well, how could they be a Christian and be in that place? But God's placed them in there for such a time as this.
Yes.
And maybe they need to understand grace. Maybe they need to understand their authority and who they are in Christ. Mm-hmm. But God's allowed them to go there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you got people in the church that are sitting there going, well, I don't understand how Christian women could,
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a bad concept. That's a bad mindset. I think Christians need to get out the fact that we are human. We do screw up. We do blow up. We do make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we go through places so that we can be stirred up, challenged, tested, and we could be stronger than when we first went in.
That's right.
And that's what that did to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we make mistakes and all that, but we are still, like Jesus said, like sheep heading towards the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
We're always dying in the body. Meaning the enemy's always out to get God's people. He hates you. He hates God's people.
He does.
And he's the accuser of the brother.
Yeah.
He the Bible says he roams around seeking whom he may devour. So he's going to try to use the systems he has in place, the people he has in place, to abort the plan and purpose God has for our lives.
Amen. So
but God's still going to use that to his glory.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get back to the question for Keisha.
As you were talking, Curtis, and I had turned to the scripture earlier, but if I may read this.
Yeah, sure.
And kind of say something about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it starts at 9, where Paul is saying, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, which am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And I'm just going to say that I put myself in a position where I was the least, even amongst these women, so that God can use me. And that was one of my prayers, was that everything that came out of my mouth. Lord, use me for your glory. Give me wisdom to speak the words that you would desire for me to speak. But not only that, that I may decrease and you may increase.
Repeat that one more
time.
The
more that I may decrease and you may increase in all the more. And then he goes on to say, but by the grace of God, mm-hmm. I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Mm. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And I say, and this bore witness to my spirit, because you know what? I labored more there. I was amongst 300 plus women. Mm-hmm. I labored more there than any pastor, apostle, minister, or whomever in this county.
Amen.
Than they've done in their congregations.
Mm. And that needs to be happening.
It needs to be happening. And you know what? By the grace of God, him working through me, there were women in other denominations that came to me and said, you know what? I want to get rid of this here. I want to read the Bible that you're reading. Mm. I had Jehovah's Witnesses.
Amen.
Muslim.
Praise God.
Yeah. Quite a few.
I want to roll over to your husband, Vince.
Amen.
There's people that are free, but they're not free because they're not free in their mind. I want you to say something to them that can free them up in their mind. We've got less than 3 minutes, and then I want you to pray us out. And I want you to speak to them. This is the last moment you have to speak to them.
I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Submit your mind to Christ. Mm-hmm. And being renewed is studying on his word, allowing his word to be sovereign in your life as the author and the finisher of your faith.
Mm. All right. Pray us out.
Well, Father God, we thank you for this here opportunity to minister to these your sheep and to give our testimony. And we just pray that it was a blessing to those who had ears to hear and hearts to receive. And we just thank you for delivering and setting your people free and being the author and the finisher of our faith. And that no devil in hell can stop the plan and purpose that you have for our life if we don't allow it. Well, your word declares us, according to our faith, be it unto us. In Jesus' name we pray.
And one more thing before we close. Keisha, you want to give out a number in case somebody out there struggling and they want to call and talk to you?
My number is area code 530-566-3345.
Give her a call. She'll be glad to talk with you guys and pray with you.
Yes.
All right. Till next week, we have the women from the Salvation Army out of Paradise next week. So this is Christ Today talking at you. And we look forward to talking to you again. And may God bless you this week. Amen.
Amen.
Christ Today is a local, nonprofit, and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.